Testament lesson is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, and may be found on page 50 of your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. Listen for the word of the Lord. But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I have given heed to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt. I declare that I will bring you up out of the misery of Egypt, to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. They will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us now go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.' I know, however, that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will perform in it. After that, he will let you go. I will bring this people into such favor with the Egyptians that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. Each woman shall ask her neighbor and any woman living in the neighbor's house for jewelry of silver and of gold and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and so you shall plunder the Egyptians." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 33 through 46. Should you care to follow along, it's on page 50 of your pew Bible. Listen for God speaking. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus said to them, Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. What's in a name? Do you know what your name means? After reading today's passage from Exodus, I started to wonder about my own name and what it meant. I know that some form of Anne followed the females back through my mother's side, but we have so little family history that I have no idea why or when it began. My given name is Joanne Lynn, and I know that my dad wanted to put an E on the end of both names because it was pretty and more feminine. But that's about all I know. When I looked up the meaning of my name, I learned that Joanne means God is gracious, and that Lynn means from the lake or beautiful waterfall. I like those definitions. Their meanings are poetic and lyrical, but I also know that's not why I was named as I was. My parents just liked the names, and it worked Anne into the picture. In the ancient world, names were given with great intention, thought, and meaning. Moses, meaning drawn out of the water, is a primary example. And as a side note, I want to point out that Jesus was named before he was born, and Jesus means God is salvation. Found that interesting. Someone's name said something about the nature of the person who bore the name. And so it is no wonder that Moses asks God what God's name is, for he wants to learn something about this God, just like the names of Egypt's gods spoke to something about them. Moses not only needed a name to give others, he needed a name to express by whose power, qualifications, and authority he was acting. Moses is essentially asking, "Who are you to send me before Pharaoh? Who are you to be promising deliverance? Who are you to be setting Israel free?" And so God tells him. Verse 14 from the third chapter of Exodus is one of the most puzzled over verses in the Hebrew scripture because it cannot be translated exactly. And any of us that have taken Hebrew have tried. Most common is, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." God continues to reveal God's name in verse 15. "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations." As God recruits and directs Moses, God is laying out God's plans for the Israelites. God will not only take them to freedom, God will give them a future and the prospect of land, which means security. This is the future that God promised to Abraham so long ago. And God keeps God's promises as a redistribution of wealth and power is projected. Just as God challenged the power and the misuse of it with Pharaoh, so Jesus challenged the power and the misuse of it with the religious leaders of his day. The parable of the wicked tenants is not exactly one of the most beloved parables, and just in hearing it today, I'm sure you can appreciate that. It has several faces, it has several entry points, places where you can go into it and preach an entire sermon or more on just one piece. One face of this parable speaks to Jesus' controversy with the chief priests and Pharisees, and hence to all who abuse and misuse their power. It speaks to all those who have harmed or been harmed by the socially, religiously, and economically powerful. It reminds all of us, of the promise of divine justice and righteousness. But this parable can also leave us with great feelings of impatience and frustration. Why would God allow a group of tenants to partake in such violence? Why didn't God do something? And why doesn't God do something about all of the violence and suffering in the world today? You pick any news source, and there are so many examples of people suffering. The events of the past month, and they certainly demonstrate this point in a myriad of ways. Natural and human-made tragedies. So many and so big. And at times we feel helpless and hopeless. The image of the vineyard in today's parable, which comes from Isaiah 5, was meant to be a symbol for Israel. And today that same symbol represents the world. And we are now the tenants. And we need to be good tenants. We have been given a responsibility to care for this world and all that is in it. But sometimes we confuse this responsibility with power. Too often we forget to whom the vineyard belongs, and we try to keep it for ourselves. Sometimes that's intentional, and we try to grab on and hold all we can for our own elevation and use. But sometimes it's unintentional. We're good people. We provide and care for ourselves and those close to us, those within our personal circles. But we're called to go beyond that. We're called to care and provide and love for all, even those outside our personal circle. We often forget that the world belongs to God and not to us. It is easy to forget that, but we must not. I want to share something I came across. I have abbreviated it, and I apologize that I cannot cite the author. If we believe that we are the new tenants, then how are we doing? Are we harvesting the fruit of witness and compassion, mission and transformation? When the owner backs up trucks to load the harvest, what will we have to load? Is the landowner pleased with us, the new keepers of the vineyard, or should we feel his judgment too? Whatever happened in the past, the landowner still likes his fruit. Are we producing the kingdom harvest that the owner was hoping for? End quote. This quote makes me wonder about my own personal harvest and what it looks like. And what can I do to make my personal harvest more abundant? And what do the harvests of this community look like? And what can we do to make our harvest more abundant? Both of our scripture readings today are about justice and the usurping of unjust power. God continuously desires to be in relationship with us and to have us be a part of God's team. Team God, it's a good team to belong to. But we must never forget to whom the ultimate power belongs. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. Israel had to wait for her deliverance, but it did come. Such is the pledge, the sureness, and the hope of all who know and trust in the Lord and believe God's active presence in the world. We cannot chart the workings of God on a computer or with a slide rule. We cannot know what God will do next, but we can freely choose to submit ourselves to align with God's will. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. God is unchangeable in that God is always planning for justice. Our parents named us with or without much intention. Yet God calls each and every one of us by name with great intention to be a part of God's restoration of the kingdom. And so the question this week is, what has God called me to do in restoring justice in the world? What has God called me to do? And how am I responding? Let us pray. God of our ancestors and of all generations, you are who you are, and you will be who you will be. And wherever you are is holy ground. Help us to hear your call and fulfill the plans that you have for each one of us. In Christ's name, amen.